Today, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I want you to do the best that you can to imagine this situation. Pay attention to what's going on. One of the ways that St. Ignatius of Loyola says is that we should step into the scriptures and use all five of our senses to recognize what's going on here. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. It is of great value just to use your imagination. I grew up around a bunch of fishermen and fished a lot my teenage years. And to move into this situation is an incredible thing. Because first off, Jesus comes and he sees the crowds and he wants to teach them. He wants to share with them. He wants to give them a deeper understanding. But the people are crowding in on him and pushing in on him that it's making it hard. So he notices that there's two boats there. And he gets in one of the boats and he asks Simon just to push it out from the shore a little bit. And most likely, as would have been his tradition, he sat down to share with them and to teach them, while all the rest of the people stood up. So let's practice that today. I'm going to sit down and you stand. No, that's not going to work, is it? That was Jesus' tradition. Everybody would have stood and listened to him. And they all would have been pushing in, trying to get closer, not being back row Baptists. They would be pushing in, trying to get right there. Or back row Methodists, or back row. I'm sure every church has back row folks. I said in the previous church that I was at, I said one time, you ought to sit down closer down front because you can get the blessing sooner. And my deacon, one of my great deacons that always sat on the back row, said, "Pastor, I'm back here on the back row to keep the blessing in here until everybody gets it." But Jesus was trying to teach, and people were pushing in on him, and he taught. And after teaching, he looked at the fishermen and said, "Go out to the deep waters and throw your nets in." I don't know how many people in here are fishermen. The deep waters is not really the place to catch fish. The fish are up underneath the banks. They're up underneath the tree limbs. They're up underneath things. They're in closer to the shore. That's where they rest. And that's the best place to catch them. And Simon Peter says, well, you know what? We've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. But Master, I'll do what you say. Now, I'd like to think a little bit differently on how Peter probably actually said this. Because I think Peter probably said, you know, Master, if that's what you want us to do, we'll go out and do it, but we've tried hard all night, and we're going to teach you that's not the way you fish. Okay? I mean, Peter lived there his whole life. That was his job. That's what he did. He knew where the fish were. They're not out in the middle of the lake. Imagine their surprise then when they pull the net in and there's more fish than fit in one boat. Imagine that surprise. I mean, they've been fishing, working hard all night. Some of you might ask, why did they work all night doing this? Because they weren't going to work in the heat of the day. They went out there when it was cool. And they're in the heat of the day, they're sitting and tending to their nets and getting them straight and ready for the next night. Peter knew that something special was up here. And it says that he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. And Jesus looked and said the wonderful words that are said so many times in Scripture, do not be afraid. From now on, you're going to fish for people. And then comes the part of the story that I hope you imagined well. Two boats full of fish. The boats are almost sinking. They come up to shore and they walk away from what they caught. Do you realize that? They walked away from it. Because they realized right in front of them was something better than two boats of fish. Hadn't caught a thing all night. That's their livelihood. Had not caught a thing. I do want to tell you that after Jesus was crucified, Peter didn't know what to do. John chapter 21, he didn't know what to do. And he looked at the rest of them and he said, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going fishing. He went back to fishing, at least for that day. And I hope you'll go and read that story in John chapter 21. But you see, what Peter was intending to do was just to mark time, just to pass time. I know how to fish, so I'm going to go fish. I really don't know what to do. And you realize, I hope you realize this. People often mark time waiting for a certain day to come. I know some of you are trying to process that and think about that. How many of you have ever said during the work week, oh man, Friday's only a couple of days off. I can't. That's marking time. That's looking for another day other than the day you're living in. I do it often. I've been catching myself this year especially. So much marking time. If I can just get through such and such this week. If I can just get past that appointment. If I can get past that meeting. If I can get past getting everything. And I'm always thinking about getting to the end of the week. We mark time a lot, don't we? And sometimes we even say, well, after this happens, I'll start paying more attention to my religious life. After such and such gets straight, I'll start doing this. And I've heard many people say that. Once I get past this, then I can do what needs to be done. Well, you know what happens when we mark time? We miss opportunities and challenges when we mark time. Because we're not paying attention to what's happening right in front of us. We're marking time looking for a moment on down the road somewhere. Now, I meant to tell you where marking time comes from. It's a military term. Corey, did you ever have to mark time? Amen, too much, right? Mark time really means to march in place until they tell you to do something else. Not paying attention to anything else, just we'll let you know. It's a time-wasting mechanism. We're going to keep you busy by wasting your time. So I want you to think about that. When we mark time for, I can't wait until Friday gets here, we're paying attention to Friday, not Sunday. We're paying attention to Friday, not Monday. We're not paying attention, and we're going to miss opportunities. There are things that God is going to present to us that's an opportunity for us to live our life for God. And because we're looking on down the road somewhere, and we're not paying attention to what's right here, we miss an opportunity. We're so involved in thinking about something else. We're so involved in looking for something else. I find this in churches often with relation to the end times. Everybody wants to figure out the end times and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen and what's going to go on and what are they doing? They're paying attention to something on down the road, not to the moment they live in. And some churches emphasize that as everything that they do. You've got to understand the end times. You know what? I'm going to be very honest with you. You don't have to understand the end times. Because what I've learned is often God works in ways that are not the way I figure it out. Did you ever find that out? God works differently than what you've figured out. I know that when I get to the gates of heaven, if it's that way, this is our picture, St. Peter's not going to look at me and say, Tim, tell me how the end times work out and I'll let you in. That's not how you get into heaven. I don't even have to know how the end times work. What I want you to think about, and what I want to cause you to think about, is are you paying attention to the current moment that you're living in? Because we miss opportunities and challenges when we mark time. Jesus wants us to get involved in current eternal events. Jesus wants us involved now in the current events that affect all eternity. And what's one of those things that affects all eternity? Whether people know Jesus Christ as their Savior or not. That affects eternity. Do you realize there are people every day that are dying that nobody shared with them about Jesus Christ? And I know for many of you, you could say, well, how's that happening? If I said every day there's people in the United States who die without knowing about Jesus Christ. Oh, how can that be? There's three churches on this street. How can they not know about Jesus Christ? It's simple. Are we telling them? Are we telling them? Have you told anyone lately about how to accept Jesus as their Savior? Or are you marking time, looking for the time that God calls you home? That's a great and glorious day. I'm look forward to it. When I can see my Savior actually face to face, I look forward to it. But there's some people that are going to die today that won't get to see Jesus face to face. And yes, even in this town, somebody is going to die this week that has never met Jesus Christ. Are we missing opportunities? Are we missing challenges? By the way, we talked about this in Growing in Christ Time, is talking about discernment this morning at 9 o'clock. It's not your job to get people saved. I know, I just confused some of you. It's only your job to tell them how to get saved. They've got to make the decision. You can't make it for them, as much as you might want to, especially for family members. They have to make their own decision. God has to work in their heart. Our job is to share. That's all it is. And sometimes Jesus is asking us to be involved in that kind of eternal event. Right in front of us. To share with people. Now, I'm not talking about standing on a soapbox and holding your Bible out and yelling and screaming at people. I'm not talking about that at all. I shared a way that I did it this morning and growing in Christ. I was riding in a van with a gentleman that I was working with, and we were going to a ship to do some work. And I looked at him and I said, Tom, hasn't God given us a wonderful day to go work on the ship? Because we were working outside, not inside. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, I've been meaning to ask you about this God thing. Can you explain it to me? And all I did was say, didn't God give us a wonderful day? And now the door is opened and he wants to hear. He asked me, can you tell me how to accept Jesus Christ? And all I did was by making a comment. It was not anything difficult. To this day, I don't know if Tom has accepted Christ. But I hope to meet him in heaven one day. I really do, because he was honest that day. He said, yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about this, and I wanted to know all about God and about Jesus, and he just went on. And folks, if we're marking time looking for some other day to come, we might miss that moment. We might miss that event. It didn't cost me anything to share my testimony with him about how I came to Christ. Matter of fact, he knew some of the problems I'd had before I came to Christ. I want to tell you two ways, two things that you can do to get involved in current eternal events. One is you can step deeper into deeper water, into the deeper waters of a relationship with God. You can step into the deeper waters of the relationship with God. This scripture has meant so much to me for so many years. Okay, some of you know I'm a beach bum. I grew up at the beach. And in all honesty, that's all I know how to be, is a beach bum. That's probably 75% of who I am. The weather's going to turn a little bit warmer here in a few weeks, and I'm not going to be wearing shoes at home all the time. I'm just a beach bum. Yes, I was the beach bum that took my cat to the beach and walked on the beach with my cat while everybody else was walking with their dog. And yes, not on a leash. Everybody looked at me. Yep, here comes that crazy guy again with a cat. I'm just a beach bum. You would think that at an early age I learned how to swim. Wouldn't you? Beach bum. Living on the beach, you would think I learned how to swim. I don't know. When I was in elementary school, my parents put me in swimming because of that, because we lived at the beach, and I jumped in the water one time when they said, oh, you're doing so well, so wonderful. We want you to jump off the diving board into the deep end. I was fearless at that time. When you're younger, you're invincible, aren't you? You think you are. And as you get older, sometimes I think I'm still invincible, and my kids go, Dad, you're not 20 anymore. I jumped in and I didn't come up. They had to pull me out. And I made my mind up. I'm not getting back in the water. I'd go to the beach, but I wasn't getting in the water. I'd walk in the water, but I'm not going out where I can't touch bottom. Worked at a Boy Scout camp when I was a late teenager. The guy that was in charge of the waterfront noticed that I was willing to help out with lost swimmer drills, even though I didn't know how to swim. Because believe it or not, at Boy Scout camps on a lake, you have lost swimmers quite often. Because the guy forgot to take his tag off the swimming board and put it on the non-swimming board, and he's back in his campsite sitting on his cot, and you got a tag with nobody in the water. Gary told me, he said, I want you down here next week. You're not going to be working your job next week. He said, because I want you to swim. I said, nope, ain't doing it. Well, maybe there's something else I need to tell you about Gary. Gary was a fourth degree black belt. And basically, he pushed me in the water and said, after you swim 100 yards, I'll let you get out. And if you get out before then, do I need to describe to you what's going to happen? And I believed Gary. And I swam my 100 yards. I floated on my back for my 1 minute that you're supposed to for scouts. And he looked at me and he says, you're not working in the Nature Lodge next week. You're down here and I'm going to teach you how to be a lifeguard. And for the next 2 summers, I worked as a lifeguard on a lake for the Boy Scouts. Now, I still have a fear of deep water. It's different now. I tend to call it a great respect for deep water. And guess who was the guy who taught all the people that were afraid to swim? That was me. Every week, that's what I was doing. So when Jesus says, move out into the deep water, I'm like, wait a minute, I can't touch bottom now. This is a scary thing. I want to ask you, how many of you have been into the deep waters of a relationship with God? Or are you playing in the edge of the pool having fun? Have you moved into the deep waters? Because the more you deepen your relationship with God, the better you know God, and that goes to heaven with you. Why are you waiting to get to heaven to get to know God better when you can do it now. I am constantly reading spiritual masters that explain things that I have a hard time and a difficult time grabbing a hold of. And I'm rereading them. And I'm rereading them. Why? Because I want to know God in a deeper way. It's there, right in front of me already. I want to know God so deeply, you've heard me express this before, I want to know God so deeply that when I get to heaven, there's no surprises. And I know one of you is going to tell me as you walk out the door, Pastor, you can't do that. Not going to happen. There's still going to be a surprise when you get to heaven. Yep, there is. But there's a whole lot of things that won't be a surprise because I've gotten to know God well enough. Now, the second thing that you can get involved in that's eternal is you can lead others to start a relationship with God. Now, once again, this is something that you can't save them. They have to make their own decision, but you can talk with them about it. You can love them. You can reach out to them with compassion no matter where they're walking. You can help them out. You can encourage them. You can strengthen them. You can share with them. It's God's job to save them, not yours and not mine. I've been called to the deathbed of many people and said, Pastor, we want you to be here to get our loved ones saved before they go to heaven. I'm sorry to tell you, I can't do that. They have to make that choice. I can't get them saved. I can share with them. I can talk to them about Jesus Christ, but I can't get them saved. That's a decision they have to make in their own heart. Not a decision you or I can make for them. But you can share with them. You can talk with them. I purposely do some things that some of you just kind of wonder sometimes. I know because you've told me. But I purposely do some things so that people might ask me, why do you do that? So I can talk to them about God. Why do you do that? Ran into one young lady one day at Walgreens, and I haven't seen her since. But I was in Walgreens, and I was buying something, and she looked at me, and she said, I like your prayer beads. She knew what they were. And it gave me an opportunity to spend some time talking to her about a relationship with God. You see, sometimes we need to do things to open those doors. Some of you might be asking the question, what is it that God wants me to do? What is God's will for me? That's what I'm doing on Wednesday night. That's what I'm doing on Sunday mornings. But I can tell you this. Both of these things that I just shared with you is God's will for you. A deeper relationship with God and to share with other people about Jesus Christ. It is God's will for you to do both those things. Both of those things. And many times I have people come to me and they tell me, Pastor, I don't know anybody that's not a Christian. Here's my advice to you. Find some new friends. Join a new organization where people aren't Christians. Maybe God's asking you to do that. Because the truth is, the longer we are Christians, the less non-Christian friends we have. Because we spend more time with the people at church. But how can you be involved in eternal events? Sharing with people that don't know Jesus Christ is one. Deepening your relationship with God is a second one. There is no doubt in my mind about both of those things. So I'm going to ask you, are you living in the present or marking time? Are you living in the present or marking time? I think there's many Christians that all they're doing is marking time, waiting for the Lord to call them home. Are you working on your relationship with God daily? Not just Sundays, daily. I wouldn't think about going a day without sitting down and talking with God for a length of time. Not a day. And are you paying attention when there's opportunities in front of you to reach out, to touch people's hearts, that they might come to God? Because, folks, that's what we're here for. If I really understand the Bible well, now that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not about you. It's about how are we going to help other people come to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, it is so easy just to mark time. Just to look for that next event that we're so waiting for. Just to put off spending time with you. Because we have filled our schedule so full that we look at the God of the universe and say, as soon as I get through all this stuff, I'll spend time with you. Lord, change our hearts. Melt them, mold them, that we might be willing to spend time with you as our first priority. And that we might pay attention to those hearts that you're working in, to say a word or a comment, or maybe even to build a relationship with, that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Lord, guide us, direct us, that we might bring you glory and honor by living in the present, not by marking time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.